Hello and welcome to the programme. Today, we hear about the Witch's Yew in Blarney Castle, officially Ireland's Tree of the Year. We look at a conservation project to stem the country's dropping windchat population. And can you identify these insects? And just how do they make that sound? Now, most of us have been rattled and upset by noisy neighbours at some stage or other, but what about when we are that boisterous neighbour breaching the peace in our community? Not me, you may assert, but have you considered how the noise you generate in your everyday comings and goings could be having on local wildlife? A new study from Queen's University Belfast shows that noisy environments caused by human activity could have a devastating effect on birds. The research looks at how man-made noise caused by traffic can mask signals between robins, hampering their ability to communicate with each other through song. When a robin hears a complicated song from another robin, they know that bird is aggressive and respond quickly with their own song. But this study shows that robins do not respond as fast when there is background interfering noise, which could lead to unnecessary fights over territory, potentially greatly reducing bird numbers. Dr. Gareth Arnott is principal investigator in the study and is a senior lecturer at the School of Biological Sciences at Queen's University in Belfast, where he joins us from now. Gareth, tell us more about the study.
Thanks a lot, Derek. You provided a great introduction, really, to the study and a very good synopsis. So in this study, we were very interested in how background levels of noise, which, as you say, are increasing globally, really, where huge effects of anthropogenic noise pollution, and this is an increasing problem. So we were interested in how that may be affecting these vocal interactions in birds. So, of course, with birds, bird song has two very fundamental functions. One is to defend a territory, and the second then is to attract a mate. And so we hypothesized that the noisy environment that they may be exposed to may interfere with that communication. So really the study was placed in that realm of better understanding the assessment that goes on between birds whenever they engage in these vocal interactions, and also how noise may be disrupting that assessment process.
So what exactly did you do, Gareth? Did you have robin recordings? Did you have particular territories? I mean, what were the actual nuts and bolts of the experiment itself, of the experimental work?
Yes, very good question. So it was really a mixture of both things that you said. So we started off by identifying the territorial robins. So we were lucky enough to work in a very nice spot on the outskirts of Belfast, which is along the River Lagan towpath. And specifically, we wanted an area that was actually quiet because we want to manipulate the noise levels. So we identified the territories of the birds along this area. And then what we did was, once we'd identified those territories, we came back and we did a playback study. So in other words, from databases, we had accumulated various recordings of robins singing, and the song of a robin varies in complexity. So what we were able to do was create two broad groups. So we created a playback that comprised simple song, and then a playback that comprised more complicated song. And then what we did was, we either played those conditions back in quiet ambient conditions, or else we played them back whereby we had manipulated the sound to have white noise over the back of it. So in this way, we had four treatments. So each territorial bird that we identified was exposed to those four treatments. And that meant we were able to compare the response whenever they heard the simple song without noise, the simple song with noise, the complicated song without noise, and the complicated song with noise. And then we were able to compare their behaviour between those different scenarios.
So are each robin's song, are they actually individual to the robin? So the robin sitting on the territory would obviously have his song, but the ones that you were playing back, would he think they were all one robin, or would he think there were various robins depending on whether it was complicated song or simple song?
That's a very good question, in the sense that you're exactly right, that each individual robin in those territories will have developed its own characteristic song pattern. And the song that the other individuals hear from that individual is an integration of everything that's went on in that bird's life to get to that point in time. In other words, what I mean is early life development and the levels of food, etc., that that animal would have had during development, they influence the quality and development of that individual, which in turn influences the quality of the song that it sings down the line. So yes, each individual will vary in the characteristics of its song. You're also right that the songs that we played back will likely have been perceived as being different individuals because we accumulated different playbacks from a database that represent different individuals.
Garrett, I have a model in my head of what goes on in robins. I gathered that a robin has a repertoire of phrases that it builds up.
Yes.
And it constructs its song by selecting about four of these phrases, yes, alternating high-pitched ones with low-pitched ones.
Yes.
And it establishes its territory. Now, I thought that it didn't embellish these phrases as time went on. I didn't think they got more complex, that the phrases, or that the number of phrases increased or anything like that. And then I understood that the neighbours, just as we know our neighbours and their behaviour, and we don't get alarmed when we see a neighbour retrieving a football ball from our front garden, whereas we would get very upset if some total stranger we never saw before was frolicking around our front garden. So our response to a stranger is much more exaggerated than our response to the familiar neighbours. Now, I understood that in the robin world, it was the same. They all knew each other more or less, and they could not waste time displaying too much, singing too much. But when a stranger comes in, such as your recording, here comes somebody in from outside who has no business here, wants to take over, take my mate, take my territory. So this is a very complex situation. Is that a correct model of what's going on?
That's a very good synopsis and analogy. So what you're describing there, Richard, is the dear enemy effect. My broad and main research area is studying contest behavior in a range of animal species. And yes, you're exactly right that once an animal has established a territory and the neighbor is also usually established, then you're absolutely correct that actually the levels of aggression decrease between the neighbour and the territory holder. And this is because they've established their territory boundaries. They learn to recognise the song of each individual, as you say. And so from an evolutionary point of view, it would not be adaptive to keep investing in a very vigorous interaction with that neighbour when the territory has been settled, known as the dear enemy effect. But equally then, you're right that what happens if a stranger comes into the territory, and you're absolutely right that our playback would have represented a stranger, then what you see is this rebound effect where they should display and be very aggressive towards this intruder on their territory. Within the contest dynamic then, there's also a very well-known resident intruder asymmetry, whereby the resident usually has a much higher advantage in the contest in terms of winning that interaction. And that's thought to be because that resident has invested so much in that territory that that resource is of a higher value to that resident. So they're more motivated to defend that territory than an intruder who may be less informed about that territory.
So now let's listen to you. You have your complicated song. You have your nasty, new, aggressive robin in the place. And the resident robin hears this and goes mad altogether. But now what about the noise? What about this white noise? This, if the robin on the territory hears the nasty regressive robin, but there's noise, white noise involved, this actually distorts the message and he's not responding the way he should. Is this what your research has finally shown us?
That's exactly right. Under normal circumstances, when we do the playback of the simple versus complex song, the bird that hears that song shifts its behaviour accordingly. In other words, what it does is whenever it hears the complex song, it shifts up a gear in its aggressive response, so it is more quickly to respond by its own song, and it also sings at a higher rate. These were two of the measures we looked at. And so that's what happens under normal ambient conditions. What we found then was whenever we had the white noise on the back of those playbacks, the territory holder wasn't able to make that discrimination between those two types of song. In other words, it lost the ability to make the assessment of the difference between the simple and the complex. And of course, ours was a very artificial scenario. But as you say, that would suggest that under real world conditions, whenever, let's say, traffic noise is in the background, the bird may not be able to adequately distinguish the level of threat from an intruder. So potentially that has quite big implications if that is the case.
Gareth, you mentioned a different level of singing, complex and simple, in robins.
Yes.
Now, is that the case? Robin has its repertoire and it sings, and the neighbours do likewise.
Yes.
If a bird comes in from outside, it's different, so okay. Mm. But it does, over time, the complexity of a robin song increase? Or is it the case that a robin that's challenging invents a more complex song simply because it's challenging, whereas it relies on a simple song if it's not? Is there some factor like that going on?
There is, to the degree. So you're also right that in this study, for the purposes of the study design, we have created these artificial categories of a simple song and a complex song. But you're absolutely right that it's on a spectrum. And when I use the term complexity, complexity in our case was made up of four elements, which comprise the duration of the song, the number of syllables, the syllable diversity, and the number of transitions between different syllable types. So in other words, we came up with a metric of complexity. But what would be the case under natural conditions is each individual will be on a spectrum along that level of complexity of their song. And it's thought that that level of complexity is a measure of the quality of that individual, representing its previous developmental phases that have got it to that point in time. So that is one element. But the other element is that there's a degree of behavioural plasticity. In other words, the bird can change elements of its song depending on the level of threat. So there's a dynamic element to the ability of the bird to change elements of its song depending on the threat level from the intruder.
Suppose I'm a robin and I'm flying into an area, I want a territory, then do I come in with a much more elaborate song? Is this an indication to the settled ones there that I am a challenger rather than just an interloper moping around?
So it's a good question, because honestly, to my knowledge, we haven't studied that effect. In other words, I don't know the level to which challengers vary in the complexity of their song, but I would hypothesize, as you say, that the individual that's coming to try to take over that territory, it would be in their benefit to give the most aggressive signal that they can. And part of that most aggressive signal is the complexity of the song.
So then if just white noise, if just traffic noise, and the resident robin doesn't hear this properly, then he doesn't hold on to his territory, he doesn't realise it's a threat. But that just stops them fighting. Isn't that a good thing? I mean, is this perceived to be a bad thing? Will the territory end up divided in two? Is it bad for the survival of the robins not to be able to hear communications properly?
Yes, that is a very good question, to the sense of why is it important? Well, I'll come back a step and say that these contests are absolutely fundamental. So a contest determines the unequal distribution of resources in the environment. So in other words, it determines the ability of that individual to secure a territory, which in the case in early spring will be to have a nest site, to be able to rear offspring, and to be able to feed and develop those offspring. So if the noise is interfering with the ability of that individual to hold that territory, it may be, for example, that it could lose a nest site halfway through, or it may be that it's disrupted from feeding the offspring. So this will have big effects on the tenure period on that territory. And ultimately, what we hypothesize is it will have an effect on the fitness of that individual bird. And by fitness, we mean survival and reproduction and the number of offspring. And within evolutionary biology, of course, everything is really about survival and reproduction for that animal.
So, Gareth, yes, there's some work in, I think, the University of Sheffield a few years ago upon this, or not quite this, about traffic noise and robins. And I think the finding was that the pitch of the song rose because higher pitched notes go out better in noisy environments than do lower pitched ones, apparently. So the pitch of robin songs in noisy areas was much higher than it was in quiet areas.
So
you you presumably compensated for that. But my question really is natural selection forming a new type of subspecies of robin that lives in very noisy places or something like that? Is this an evolutionary thing, or is this plasticity just a sort of a thing that things adapt to on the spur of the moment, or is it something they inherit from their parents?
So you have just hit on a question which is a very active research area. So we are currently asking the question, is it behavioural plasticity? In other words, as you correctly say, what happens typically in a noisy environment is the bird will shift the minimum frequency of its song upwards. So it'll shift the pitch upwards. It also does a thing which we do called the Lombard effect, which is if we're in a noisy pub, we unconsciously start to speak louder, for example. So the birds will also sing at a higher amplitude. And so that can happen within a generation. So there's clearly some effect of behavioral plasticity there. But the extent to which that may be a selective pressure resulting in change over time through genetic manipulation, i.e. Selection and evolution, is currently an unanswered question. But the hypothesis would be if individuals that have shifted their song upwards do better in noisy environments, then that should be a selective pressure that should ultimately flow through in terms of their survival and reproduction. But as yet, we haven't been studying this area long enough to answer that question, but it's definitely a very interesting one that's currently being investigated.
Gareth, thank you very much indeed.
That's great, Derek. Very interesting to talk to you.
Gorgeous new terms to trot out at dinner parties, such as Lombard
effect. The Lombard effect, yes, exactly. Right. Okay.
Thanks, Gareth.
Good. All the best.
Good talk to you. Bye-bye.
You can visit the website anytime you like. It's rte.ie/Mooney.
The Lombard hot summer.